Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? Here we go. Your dial is set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Today's class is with Dr. Amber Abernathy. And she is the Mary Charlotte Bayless Shealy Chair in Conscientious Psychology. She's an associate professor at Missouri State University. And today's class, we will demonstrate how one can become successful in one of today's latest trends, exhibited by the intense competition featured in today's mass media. The top contenders come from two distinct dysfunctional families and are so well known by their admirers that they are that only their first names need to be used to identify them. Two are known as Meghan and Harry, and the other six and a half, Kim, Courtney, Chloe, Kylie, Kendall, Chris, and Caitlin. Today's class is Me-ism. Some of the top contenders have changing appearances brought on by surgery and blue, pink, green, and violet dye. Welcome, Dr. Amber Abernathy.
Hello, I'm glad to be here again.
That didn't get you fired, did it?
No, but I was really confused at first when we were going with this, but I figured it out. All right.
We're talking about me-ism and what people will do, what great extents they will go through to say, look at me. I'm willing to bash the queen. I'm willing to have gender reassignment. I'm willing to bend over every way possible, even ways impossible, in bikinis to show you what no one wants to see just to be looked at.
It is true. We are in a society where everyone wants it to be about them. Narcissism is on the rise.
So let's discuss what actually is me-ism. What is it, and is there a genesis for this? I mean, did this just happen, or is it just that it's the latest craze and phase?
Well, narcissism, me-ism, is a form of narcissism, but kind of not to the level. So narcissism is a personality disorder. So you have to be diagnosed with it before we can actually say you're completely narcissistic. But me-ism is basically the same thing. It's what I would consider undiagnosed or right on the cusp of being narcissistic personality disorder. And these are people that need to be admired. They have strong sense of self-importance. They often lack insight into other people's feelings and needs. They have a sense of entitlement and superiority, inability to recognize what others want, envious of others because they just want to be seen and on top. And interestingly, this has been around for a while, but it's actually the least diagnosed personality disorder. It's only about 0.5% of the people in the world have narcissistic personality disorder, but the levels of narcissism in general, or me-ism, are increasing. And what happened is actually legislation that started in California around 1986 has greatly increased narcissism. And then from there, media and other aspects have increased it as well. So the baseline for this was self-esteem. So narcissistic people have this inflated sense of self-esteem. Well, self-esteem is not bad. There's some great research that shows that high self-esteem in people leads to better work productivity. They get things done. They have better jobs. You know, there's all this great research on self-esteem. So some researchers came along in the 80s and said, if we can increase children's self-esteem, then they're going to do better in school, and they're going to be kinder, and they're going to have personal success. And so in 1986, they passed a law in California. They actually gave $245,000 a year to increase self-esteem, and they developed what's called the Self-Esteem Commission. And so it was this great idea that we're going to increase children's self-esteem. So the movement was in the 80s and early 90s, and what they did was they did things like they didn't give children negative feedback. They wouldn't let them have poor grades because it could damage their self-esteem. They actually stopped grading tests in red ink. They did activities where they repeat things like, I am a good person, I'm special. They did exercises where, you know, you'd toss a koosh ball at somebody else and have to say something good about the person, so everybody got these good compliments. Well, the idea was great, but what they found is this didn't necessarily increase self-esteem. Self-esteem doesn't quite work that way. There's a lot of things that impact self-esteem, body image, personality traits. So that wasn't working, but what they did increase was narcissism. And for those that already had high self-esteem, it might have increased their self-esteem to too high of self-esteem, which led to worse behavior. And so the follow-up on this research, and it started in California but moved across the country. I'm sure if you had anybody that grew up in the 80s and 90s, they're going to hear things like we did. We started, you know, repeating these chants, like, I am special. There's been some great research that said songs, just songs alone about loving yourself, increased from the 1980s and on. Believe in yourself, anything's possible. Books with those titles just took off. Songs with words about self-focus became huge in the 80s. And so what they thought was this would be a great thing, what they found on follow-up studies is that the level of narcissistic personality traits increased by almost two-thirds from 1982 to 2009 alone. So what happened is we became a very narcissistic group.
So, Dr. Amber Abernathy, are you saying something like everyone gets to be on the high school baseball team, and when Charlie strikes out by missing every ball thrown at him, he gets the top award for not damaging the ball?
That is 100% what I am saying, that there needs to be an award for everyone, that everyone should win, that everyone should be complimented for something. Again, the idea was good. They didn't have the research to act it out because they didn't look into it enough to see that that was not going to change self-esteem for everyone. Individuals with low self-esteem, that's not necessarily going to make it better. What it's going to do is make it all about the individual. So what we've actually taught these children is not that they are great, but that they're special, that they're unique. And, you know, I love the saying, you're unique just like everyone else. Yeah, we're all unique. Like, it doesn't mean you get a trophy for being unique. My son just graduated high school, and we did do a little celebration for him. But I find it really funny that people are giving giant parties for people graduating kindergarten and eighth grade and even high school. These are things that you're supposed to do. you know, you're supposed to graduate kindergarten. Those are kind of requirements, like, otherwise you don't move on. And so when the families are throwing giant celebrations because somebody graduated kindergarten, what it's showing is it's all about them. And so we're rewarding behavior that maybe shouldn't necessarily be rewarded. And that's getting really confusing for people. So then when these individuals grow up and get into the job market and the boss didn't tell them that they did good because they clocked in on time, then they're angry at work. And they're mad at the boss. And this just leads to problematic behavior when they don't get what they want in the relationship, when they don't get to do the fun things that they find fun and they have to think about someone else. They don't know how to do that because they've been rewarded for just being them, for being unique and being special. And so we are seeing problems in the workplace, problems in relationships. You know, the divorce rate is on the rise. Well, if you have two narcissistic people or one narcissistic person, one person that's all about me, how does that make a true relationship? And so you're just going to have problems because they want to be recognized. They want to be on top. They want to make the decisions. And that's not going to work in a couple relationship. That's not going to work in a group atmosphere. That's not going to work among children. And so we're having more and more problems related to this. And what's happened is because this started in the 80s and 90s, it is continuing. And now these parents have raised extra me-ism, mega me-ism children. And so, you know, as a professor even, it's not only that the child is entitled, but their parents also see that their child is special and unique. I don't have it so much, but I have a lot of friends that teach high school or middle school, and the parents will even call in and complain on behalf of the child. And so what you have is extra or mega me-ism children and me-ism adults, leading to everybody thinks they should get to do what they want to do.
You know, I was thinking about these birthday parties that you were talking about, and I know some parents on the East Coast who have birthday parties for one-year-olds and two-year-olds. Now, obviously, that child is not going to remember anything. That child doesn't understand what this is all about. And, of course, it's nice to see friends and family and so forth. But a birthday party for a 1- and 2-year-old is meaningless to the 1- and 2-year-old, as far as I can tell. So it's really about the parents saying, look at me. And I totally agree with that. When I was growing up back in the 1950s and the 1960s, there were two kinds of behavior shaping mechanisms. One was the carrot and the other was the stick. And so, you know, if you did a good thing, you were told, hey, this is what you should do. And if you did that, you might get an attaboy or an attagirl. If you did something wrong and misbehaved, then the stick would come out. So it was, I prefer the carrot better, more than the stick, every single time. So people would generally, you know, gravitate toward good behavior. But the stick has been taken out of the equation for the most part, as far as I can tell. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I have a friend that their parenting and grandparenting style is kisses or the spoon is how they state it. same kind of idea there. You know, do you want kisses? Do you want the spoon? The idea is, though, is we've taken away negative consequences. And I don't just mean something like spanking and that type of discipline, but we've taken away discipline a lot. You know, again, we don't want, I teach in my class about concepts like No Child Left Behind and kind of pushing this where, you know, again, we're going to not create a negative impact on any child. And in theory, that is wonderful because we do know that negative, especially if someone's struggling and you push them with negative, then what can happen is they will give up. But the thing is, there has to be consequences for people's actions. And so the fact that you just didn't turn anything in does not mean you should pass a class. The fact that you missed every ball does not mean that you should get star player. It doesn't. And so what's going to happen is they are going to be really confused and hurt and problem when they get into workplaces or relationships where it's not about them and when the discipline is there. And, you know, we see that a lot in a workplace. You're punished if you don't do this. Well, if they grew up in a society, in a school
system, Hold that thought. We're going into a break. Hold that thought, please.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer.
A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
It's gonna be sliding. When you go to the TV for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Dr. Amber Abernathy is with you, Missouri State University. And Dr. Abernathy, I believe you were talking about the absence of necessary discipline when we were going into the break.
Yes, I was saying that the problem is that, you know, the carrot, as you stated, is wonderful. But if we don't have some sort of discipline as young children, then when you get into jobs and relationships and things where discipline does come in, where somebody's unhappy with you, where somebody criticizes you, where there are critiques just to make you better, which is still a form of discipline, then what happens is these individuals don't know how to take that. And so they're not going to improve. They're going to become angry. And there's all kinds of issues related to that.
I can't think of a single example of a job where it is absent. The thinking about another person is absent. I can't think of a single job where not considering the feelings, etc., of the other person is absent. Can you?
No, I can't. Especially, you know, we are a social society, and every job, even the individual, when you're entering numbers about other people or about something related to a company. So there's always a connection. Human beings are social in nature. Everything that we do has a social component. And if you're not thinking about another individual, if it is only about you, then how are you going to have any sort of social relationship? And that's the issue with, like, the personality disorder of narcissism. The biggest problem with it is interpersonal functioning, that you don't get along with other people. The biggest issue, though, with diagnosing it, or with these individuals, these me-ism individuals, again, I'm not diagnosing the population with narcissism, but with me-ism, the biggest issue is people don't see they have a problem because they're only focused on themselves. So if, you know, well, everybody seems to hate me at work, it must be them. Well, let's see where the common denominator is on that. But that's what's happening. They're only seeing it from their point of view, because we're not teaching children at a young age to think of others, besides maybe give them a compliment.
You mentioned No Child Left Behind, and I was teaching when No Child Left Behind was implemented. And as I watched this, and it only took me maybe a year to figure this out, that, you know, it sounded really good, the terminology, the descriptor, No Child Left Behind. It really sounds wonderful. That's a government term. But really, I think it meant no child gets a chance, or no child gets ahead, because we are holding the whole group, the whole class, to the lowest common denominator. Is that correct?
I would agree with what you're saying. You know, I have a discussion day. I wanted to say debate. It's a discussion day in my psychology of adolescent class where we talk about things like No Child Left Behind. Because there is some, again, it's a great principle, but then there's some research that talks about that, you know, depending on the school district, the size of the school, the availability of teachers and teachers' aides, it could hold a whole class back. You know, we moved from a very small town in Oklahoma to a fairly decent sized town in Missouri. And what we see is the town in Missouri, they have extra teachers that can help out. You know, they call them teacher's aides or assistant teachers that can help out with that child that needs a little bit extra help. Well, the small town we had in Oklahoma didn't have that. So if you had to offer one child extra help, the whole other class had to wait. And so I have this discussion in my class about what do you do? Because you don't want this child that needs a little extra help to fall behind. And so I don't have the answers. That's part of the reason I'm not in legislation. But I do know that not necessarily that No Child Left Behind isn't necessarily working, especially in those school districts where they don't have the extra help. What's happening is that we are holding back a lot of children.
I'll tell you what one guy did when we come back, Dr. Abernethy, about what do you do when a child needs extra help in school. And there's one guy that had an answer, and I know this guy pretty well. So I'll explain that when we come back. I'd love to hear your comments. Dr. Amber Abernethy is with us, and she's with Missouri State University in the psychology department. This is USA Prepares. We'll be right back.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Biden's decision to stop a President Trump-era State Department investigation into the origins of the COVID-19 in Wuhan, China, has two Senate Republicans requesting information on why he would stop the fact-finding process. Senators Ron Johnson, Republican from Wisconsin, and Rick Scott, the Republican from Florida, wrote a letter to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and President Biden saying, "We write to request information regarding recent reports that President Joe Biden's team shut down an investigation into the origins of the pandemic, which included examining the theory that the virus originated in a lab in Wuhan, China." U.S. House members plan to introduce two bipartisan bills Friday. The first bill, the Made in America Emergency Preparedness Act, would establish a 9/11-style bipartisan commission. The second bill, Never Again International Outbreak Prevention Act, calls for allowing grieving families to sue China by stripping sovereign immunity from it and other countries. USA Radio News.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with the Rise USA, the Resurrection Tour. Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elites and their tyranny. The Arise USA Tour is free, with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including Constitutional Sheriff Richard Mack, the Patriot Street Fighter Scott McKay, human rights attorney Lee Dundas, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, is being sued by several media outlets for her racist actions, limiting interviews by people based on the color of their skin. Judicial Watch and the Daily Caller News Foundation are seeking justice. Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, tells Fox News, Lightfoot's actions are wrong on many levels.
Well, we have this crazed woke approach to everything, and it's basically designed to discriminate against people because of their race, categorize people by groups, and in this day and age to have a government official deny access to reporters or any other American based on their race is just extraordinary. This is a civil rights lawsuit we filed for Thomas against the First Amendment and a law known back in the day as the Ku Klux Klan Act. It's incredible that we have to apply this law to the mayor of Chicago who sent out a letter detailing her effort to discriminate on the basis of race. This is a racist abuse of power, and we can philosophically disagree with this craziness, critical race theory, equity, and all of that, but this is a question of legality. The law's got to address this, and this isn't a matter of difference of philosophy. This is a question of whether the rule of law applies to the mayor of Chicago.
The complaint alleges that Lightfoot has since granted at least one interview request from a self-identified Latino reporter, but declined or failed to respond to interview requests from white reporters. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com. and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Longevity. Teamgaday.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
So, class, in the 1940s, right after World War II, this man was educated as a teacher, and he became a teacher. Taught young students, and in subsequent to that, after becoming a teacher, he became a teaching principal, which means that he got a school to be the boss of, and he also taught. So there were times when teachers actually ran the school, and they were called teaching principals. And then in the 1950s, he became a principal of an elementary school, and then subsequent to that, he got a bigger school, and then he became an acting superintendent. And then in the 1980s, he taught college physics and college chemistry. Now, I know this guy pretty well. And what he did was, in the 1950s, he determined what he thought about how students learn at different speeds. And some need extra help, and some excel without the extra help. So he thought about what is the answer to that? And he came up with an answer, and I think it was a brilliant answer. What he did was the previously unthinkable. He took out all the grades in his school. There were no grades. So you weren't in, let's say, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. You were grouped by your learning ability and your learning speed and your learning desire with other children that had the same learning speed, interest, and desire. So the whole class moved at the same speed, so there was no need for that one child holding back the class because that one child needed extra help. And I know that guy really well because he was my father. And he was the only guy in the country to do that. And it stayed like that as long as he was the principal of that school. And when he got promoted to a bigger school, the guy that followed in his footsteps couldn't handle it and put it back the way it used to be with grades. Dr. Abernethy, your comments.
I think that that is a really wonderful idea and concept. And, you know, other countries do that. The United States is really known for segregating people based on age. And, you know, we divide people out with a lot of things, sporting groups. So it's not based on how good you can play, but this is the 10 to 11-year-old league and team. And so even with things like that, that is not equal for all 11-year-olds. And I think that that's a wonderful way to go about it, is looking at ability and skill level. I think the biggest issue is we are a society that likes to track things. We like to have cutoff points. We like, you know, we talk about entering college and you need an ACT or an SAT, or you need scores and you need grades, and we have to see that to know where to put you. And so I think that that is, would have to be such a universal change that it wouldn't happen because, as you said, the next person that came along couldn't handle it that way, to kind of see where the cutoffs, what paper do I give to the college? What paper do I give to the next teacher? What can I tell people? And we are so used to scores and numbers and letters that going and transitioning into individual basis is a hard thing for us to do.
You know, if a student studies karate, they aren't grouped necessarily by age. You know, everyone in the group is the same age. They group them predominantly by skill level and achievement. Everyone starts out as a white belt, then as they progress, a yellow belt, orange belt, green belt, blue belt, violet, red, brown, and ultimately black, and then there are different levels of black belt. So that seems to work in karate classes, seems to work in karate tournaments. Why would it not work for most everything else? I wanted to tell you a short story. I wanted to buy some concrete. And so I called a company and I said, I'm interested in buying concrete. And they sell it by the cubic yard. And they have different grades of concrete. So they have what's called 5-sack, which means 5 sacks of cement is added to the mix. 5.5-sack would be more cement added to the concrete mix. So it would be a little stronger and a little more expensive. And then there's 6-sack, etc. So I called this company and I said, I wanted to get some prices. And the guy said, well, you can't talk to me at the headquarters here. You have to talk to a salesman. So I said, okay, got the salesman's number. And I said, I'm interested in buying some concrete, and here's where I live, and so there's a distance charge from the concrete, the plant. And so I talked to the salesman, and I said, here's what I'm interested in. Here's my name, here's where I am. He said, okay, what do you need? And I said, well, I'd like to buy some 5.5 sack. And he said, okay, hold on. And he called the guy I just talked to at the main plant. And he said, hey, I got a guy on the phone. Now, he's got two lines. I guess he's working from home. He's a salesman. He's working from home. Calls and says, I got this guy on the phone, and he wants 5.5-sack. How much is it? And I can hear the guy on the speakerphone and gives the salesman the price. The salesman gives me the price. And I said, okay, how much is six sack? He goes through it again. And I said, do you sell rebar? So he asked the guy at the control tower and tells him that they sell rebars. Okay, so what's the price? Oh, hey, he wants to know the price. So we go through this for all the items I want on the list. Now, obviously, that was a situation where everybody is equal. You don't have to worry about skill level. And this guy had no clue. And now I wouldn't even consider calling that company because I know that they will hire people who have no clue. And I'm finding that pretty much everywhere I go in auto parts. Hey, do you have a, such and such? What is that? Oh, really? I thought you guys knew what you were doing. That's what I'm seeing pretty much everywhere I go. Are you seeing that too?
Yes, I'm seeing that. And, it's interesting because on the flip side of that, I think that part of it is related to this concept of we can't get enough people to work now. My sons, both of them have jobs, but when they were looking for jobs, one of them applied at Lowe's, and I said, you know nothing about any of these areas. You don't need to apply at Lowe's, because if you go in and somebody asks you where, a Phillips head screwdriver is, you're not going to have a clue what it is. But a lot of times we're just trying to hire anybody, and it doesn't matter. They will either be trained or it doesn't matter, and we're trying to get anybody. So I think that's a little bit of what's going on there, is just simply we're trying to get warm bodies in different areas. And then I think sometimes the other issue is that there is, too many chiefs. Somebody wants to be the boss. Goes back to that me-ism that we've been talking about. So if there's micromanagers, that it has to run through me. You can't answer that. That has to run through me. I'm the one in charge of that. And so even though the person could be capable of doing it, somebody else wants to take the lead or be in control.
You mentioned Lowe's, and I'm kind of chuckling because many years ago, I was buying something at Lowe's, and I was parked in the parking lot, and I saw this great big banner. I mean, it was huge, and it said, now accepting applications. Now, I think I mentioned that the character that I played when I taught high school was Columbo. So sometimes I put on the Columbo act, and I'm confused, and, I just don't get it. So I walked into Lowe's, and they have this greeter gal there, and I kind of cocked my head a little bit, and I said, I see that you have a banner there. It says, now accepting applications. And she's, yeah. Just go down there to customer service, and they'll take your application. I said, but I don't have any skills. And she said, that's okay. She said, that's okay. I don't either, and they hired me. True story.
That is not only what's happening too is not just that. I mean, that's literally when my son was filling this out. I was like, you can't. They ask what area he knew the most about, and I was like, none of these. And the problem I always tell people with self-report. Yeah, I'm a psychologist. I do research. We lie on self-report. You're trying to get a job. I'm going to know everything about everything. Paint? Yep, been there, done that. I mean, we're not even doing face-to-face interviews as much as we used to at self-report. But then the other problem is when they do get into a job, they don't like to fire people. That cost them money. We don't want it's somebody here at least. I go into Lowe's with my husband, and he always wants to ask somebody something, and I'm like, no. If they were willing to hire my child, I'm not sure I want to ask anybody anything. Not sure they're going to know any more than I do. And I don't want to just pick on Lowe's, but the problem really is, I think a lot of we're just trying to get anybody in any job now, and people don't have the training. And really, even going back to what we're talking about, it's not okay to criticize people. If they didn't have the knowledge, it's not okay not to hire them. And so they can learn. We can get them better at that. And so it just becomes a idea of anybody there, any warm body there, and you're on your own.
So the same gal was at the cash register when I was checking out, and I wanted to buy about 20 of those corner bead metal edges for wallboard. And you know what I'm talking about? When you put a wall together and it has an outside corner, they're about 10 feet long and they're metal and they've been stamped. They're about $2 a piece. So I was picking them out, getting the ones that weren't bent out of the display at Lowe's. And there on the floor was a box that someone had just taken all of these, the contents of this box, to put them on display so you could buy one or two or however many you wanted to buy. And I said to the salesperson on the floor, the guy who had just left this big box on the floor, it's like 10 feet long, roughly 6 inches by 6 inches, 10 feet long. And I said, may I have this empty box? Because I want to buy some of these, and it'll help. I can strap them in my truck, and they won't get damaged on the way home, you know, when I strap them down. He said, sure, take the box. So I put the 10 of these corner beads in the box, and I put it in the cart, and I pushed the cart over to this gal who had just helped me with the application, telling me I could, you know, they'll hire me. So she's checking it out, and I said, now I have about, I've got 20 of these in the box. And so what she did was she figured the easiest way to do this was to just scan the barcode on the box. So 20 of these at roughly $2 a piece. She clicked the box 20 times, and she says, okay, that'll be $1,100. because she was selling me 20 boxes worth, not 20 each. Now, I told her that here's the barcode on each one. I even showed her, left the barcode so she could see them on the end of the, you know, sticking out of this big box, and she still didn't get it. And she had no idea that this, the contents of this box, couldn't cost $1,100. I just thought that was... Now, the opposite could happen. It could be $1,100 worth of things that she could sell for $40, right?
Right, and that type of stuff does happen. That's where these companies take big losses, is because if you don't know the product you're selling, so you've had it kind of both ways. You've had people that, you know, overly, again, I think you've dealt with some of these micromanagers that I need to be the one to talk to him, or you can only do this job when really somebody else knows the answer, or somebody that just simply doesn't know what they're doing at all. It's interesting, again, that we're just kind of putting anybody and anything right now, and I guess it's been going on for a little while, but I just see it increasing now, is because we're not having a lot of people working and trying to fill any position we can. So
I'll tell you a short story when we come back about when I was shopping for auto parts with our son at a local big box auto parts store here in Missouri, and I think you might find this fascinating, and I'd love to hear your comments on this when we come back. Dr. Amber Abernathy is with us for one more segment this morning. We'll be right back.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
I'm delighted to be broadcasting with Dr. Amber Abernathy, and we're talking about me-ism and narcissism. So our son and I went into a big box oil parts store in here in Missouri, and I needed a part, and I brought the part with me. And we walked in, there were three guys lollygagging behind the counter. They had, you know, nothing to do. So I put the part on the counter, and I said, can you help me? I need one of these. And I told them exactly what the part was, make, model, etc. And I even had an example of the part so they could match it up. And the guy had a problem trying to understand what I was asking him for. It was a very common part. And he had trouble understanding exactly what I was asking him for, and even though I had the example. So I said to him, you know, when I was your age, I was in your job behind a counter at a small auto parts store on the East Coast. And on day one, I started, and the customers, the regular customers would come in, they would look at me, and they'd look around the store, and they'd stretch their neck, and they'd go, is Tommy here? And I'd say, no, Tommy's at lunch. Or they'd come in, they'd say, is Tommy here? And I'd go, he just left, he'll be back in a little bit. And they'd go, okay, I'll come back. So they wanted Tommy. Why? Because Tommy was the old guy who knew about parts, okay? And I was the new guy, and obviously they didn't expect that I knew anything, and they wanted to talk to someone who knew his job. So what I did was I opened up every, in between customers, I opened up every single box in the store. I looked at the good, better, and best quality of each item, and then when customers came in, they'd say, do you have one of these? I go, sure, I have three of them, and let me get them for you, and I'll show you why one is better than the other, and the price points, and then I can help you see the differences, and you can decide. And they were so impressed with that, then people stopped asking for Tommy, and they wanted me, because Tommy didn't even know that. So I told this guy who was trying to help me at the auto parts store in Missouri that story, and his response was, they don't pay me enough to do that. They don't pay me enough to open every box. And so what I'm saying is, this guy is saying they don't pay him, and enough to do the poor job that he's doing, and he's not interested in learning how to do the poor job better. So on the way out of that store, my son turned to me and he said, "You'd fire him, wouldn't you, Dad?" And I said, "Of course I would." Your comments, Amber?
That is the same as what we've done is we have rewarded people for doing the minimum. You showed up, so you get paid. And you don't get anything extra for learning anything extra. We have taken away the work ethic from people. We talked about last time we discussed a little bit of intrinsic motivation that, you know, you're doing it for you, not just for that reward of a paycheck. And that's all, it is me-ism. It is all about them. It is not about customer service. It is, I'm going to do my hours here. My only job is to ring you up. And so no one is trying harder or trying to be better. And unfortunately, those few like you that went along and did extra, you know, you don't get any extra pay. You don't get anything extra. And so those people start getting discouraged. But I still think it goes back into the me-ism, and it's just all about that person. And a little bit of that, again, is schools and parents and how they're raised. But, you know, my big underlying research is personality, and I just don't have the type of personality that I could let good enough be enough. There's always got to be more. I could be better at my job. I could work harder at my job. It is about more than just me. And so although I definitely think it's related to these things that we've done in the past, I think what you're seeing there is a little bit of these people's personality and their parenting and, you know, the schooling and a little bit of everything. And I worry for what his kids are going to be like. And what, you know, I mean, maybe computers will take over checking us out because we're just losing that the customers, you know, we're going to help the customer kind of thing.
So I was in Home Depot years ago, and there was a guy with the orange smock on, and I was looking for a ball valve and a PVC ball valve, and they typically have colored handles, like you can get blue for cold water and red for hot water. Well, I could only find the black-handled ones. So there was this guy, his name was Eric. I remember it very, very well. Eric had his name on his orange smock, and he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Oh, that's great, thank you. I'm looking for the ball valves that are blue and red handled." And so he's looking, he finally finds the ones that are black. And I said, "Oh, I know about that." And he said, this is what we have. And I said, do you know about the, you know, the blue ones and the red ones?" So he didn't seem to understand what I was saying. And I said, "So you don't really know what you're doing here, do you, Eric?" And he said, "No, I'm from the lawn and garden department. I know everything about lawn and garden." I said, "Okay, well, great. Can you help me with those? You know, when you buy fertilizer and it has those three numbers on the bag, like 10, 6, 4, and 10, 10, 10. And Eric, what do those mean?" And he said, well, potassium. And I said, "Eric, that's two. Listen, I just want to let you know I'm from headquarters. I've got your name, and I'm writing you up right now." True story. Now, he almost wet his pants. And I told him, "Okay, I'm only kidding. You know, I don't work for Home Depot." But anyway, thanks for trying, Eric. By the way, are you going to share this class with your college students?
I think this would go well with one of my lessons in adolescent class because we discuss all of this information.
Dr. Amber Abernethy, I'm looking forward to being on the broadcast classroom with you again and again and again. So we'll line up our schedules. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having
Jake
me.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
The kid what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.